Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Homosexuals know that if they can prove they are born gay, they've won the war to obtain minority status in the U.S. Historically, courts have awarded minority class status to groups that, one, have demonstrated a long history of discrimination, two, have demonstrated that they are powerless as a community to help themselves, and three, have demonstrated an immutable, unchangeable characteristics such as race or gender. In 1973, homosexuality was removed from the American Psychological Association's list of mental disorders. In the 90s, homosexual activists believed that if they could convince the courts that they were quote-unquote born gay, they would acquire protected class status and could then legally challenge anti-sodomy laws in the U.S. So, enter Dean Hamer, Simon LeVay, and others who tried to prove a quote-unquote gay gene existed. In fact, in 1998, the American Psychological Association issued this statement, quote, "There is considerable recent evidence to suggest that biology, including genetic or inborn hormonal factors, play a significant role in a person's sexuality," unquote. However, in May 2009, they issued a new statement, quote, "There is no consensus among scientists about the exact reasons that an individual develops a heterosexual, bisexual, gay, or lesbian orientation. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor or factors. Many think that nature and nurture both play complex roles," unquote. But in September 2009, at the APA's annual convention, a task force presented a report that in part examined the efficiency of so-called reparative therapy or sexual orientation change efforts. At that time, APA's Governing Council of Representatives adopted a resolution stating that mental health professionals should avoid telling clients that they can change their sexual orientation through therapy or other treatments. There have been increased attacks upon the idea of change for homosexuals because those who have left the homosexual lifestyle are a direct threat to the advancement of the homosexual agenda. In June of this year, the former president of the American Psychological Association said political correctness and homosexual ideology now rules the organization, and that leaving the homosexual lifestyle is indeed a possibility, a position contrary to that of the APA. However, even with that statement from the former president of the APA, that has not lessened the attacks. And my guest today is, I have two guests today. They are from JONA, and one is Arthur Goldberg. And would you like to introduce your associate?
Actually, it's my co-director. Her name is Elaine Silador-Burke. She and I formed the organization together and have worked together for well over a dozen years with JONA.
And what does JONA stand for? Let's start there. What does JONA stand for?
JONA stands for Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing. Basically, it's an organization that does two things. It does educational outreach and also works as a resource referral place for individuals who are struggling, as we have a network of counselors that we recommend people to for overcoming either their feelings, their behavior, or their identity, or a combination thereof.
So you have a network of counselors. And so are you part of the APA, the counselors who are involved with JONA?
No. Well, I mean, some of them are psychologists and are members, individual members of the APA, but JONA itself is not a member of the APA.
Okay.
And many of the counselors are not all the counselors are psychologists. I mean, you have some counselors who are social workers, mm-hmm. You got some life coaches, there's some who have psychiatrist licenses, et cetera. I mean, social workers, I mean, it's a broad network of people.
Okay, good. And you say you guys have been around for a dozen years. Have you seen a change over those dozen years from the time you started, as far as societal acceptance of homosexuality to an increased number of those who claim to be homosexual and the efforts to counsel them if they have unwanted sexual same-sex attractions?
We certainly have seen efforts by the gay community to silence those who are unhappy feeling same-sex attraction. That seems to be much more organized now with a lot of money. Groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups are just starting to do suits all around the country to make it even illegal to want to get help, even though we're not promising any individual that they can change. But certainly this organized effort to stop people's freedom of choice, of choosing the counseling they want, is certainly a much larger component of the society than it was when we started.
Yeah, and to me that's just outrageous that they would try to dictate, these homosexual activists and their allies would try to dictate to someone who wants help and tell them they don't need help and they can't get help because we're going to pass laws that bans this kind of help. To me that just...
We agree with you completely. And I remember reading books by gay activists saying that if we get to the point where no one can even attempt to change, then no one does change, and then we've won our battle.
Yeah, and to me that proves the whole thing with that, those three items we looked at the beginning, you know, that they're supposed to demonstrate powerlessness to be able to, you know, it's one of the three components to get minority status. I mean, homosexual activists are not powerless.
No, not at all. They're not powerless in any shape, manner, or form. And in fact, what their present thrust is to deny diversity of thought, of belief, of feelings. You know, they talk about diversity and tolerance, but in fact, it's the exact opposite. It's really an intolerance and a lack of diversity that they seek. That's either my way or the highway.
Exactly.
And certainly in terms of the powerlessness, allegedly, just look at what happened in the elections recently, where you had four states go against the idea of prohibiting same-sex marriage, or the reverse, basically permitting same-sex marriage. The media, of course, is constantly reporting in very biased ways, in my judgment.
Biased? The media is biased?
You have TV, radio, newspapers, that it's never an equal, let me give you two sides of a story, but usually it's maybe 10%, if at all, given the side that people can change, and 90% of the fact that, no, they can't change.
Right.
So you've got a tremendous lack of power, really, on our side, as opposed to their side.
Right. And it's a recent Gallup, I believe it was a Gallup poll. It was a very extensive, I think they asked this question to over 200,000 people, if my memory serves me correctly, ask them what percentage of Americans were homosexual. And a large number of those thought between 10 and 25% of Americans were homosexual. The media, mainstream media, the entertainment media, all have been very, very successful in getting the false message out there that there are many, many more homosexuals, bisexuals, and transgenders in America than there are. And they're targeting the schools. And now California has just passed this law that bans any type of therapy or counseling for
absolutely, for sure. And certainly the California legislation, I think, is a very dangerous precedent. As I'm sure you're well aware, there are two legal cases that are pending in the California courts on this, one in which the judge issued a temporary restraining order on behalf of the three plaintiffs who are suing to block enforcement of the law, the other in which she did not block it. Of course, it's very interesting that one was an older judge who had been around for many years, who was an appointee of, you know, previous administrations. Mm-hmm. I don't remember
Bush, I think.
Reagan
first
or
thing,
a Bush appointee.
Yeah, I think Bush won. Okay.
And the other, the newer judge, of course, is a recent Obama appointee who doesn't have a lot of experience on the bench and came at it from a totally different vantage point.
Yeah.
So where the cases are going to go on appeal, I don't know. I'm not involved in the case, but
we just want to clarify that in California, at this point, those laws apply to minors.
Okay, to
minors
only.
Thank goodness. They wanted to get reparative therapy banned for everyone, but even the California legislature realized that just was not going to fly, that it's really unconstitutional. So they limit it to minors, that even if a minor is unhappy feeling same-sex attraction and their family goes along with them trying to get this kind of therapy, they want to block it. They say it's dangerous. And there's no evidence that this kind of therapy is dangerous. And certainly we don't agree with forcing anyone. I mean, if the parents want the therapy and the youngster doesn't, well, then the youngster shouldn't get the therapy.
Right.
But if they both agree,
then there should be open
freedom of speech,
absolutely.
Their freedom of assembly, to get the therapy that they prefer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to make a very clear statement that, backing up what Elaine said, is that we do not seek to coerce anyone into changing sexual orientation. And anyone that is involved in this field, I think, feels pretty much the same way.
Yeah, I agree. Any legitimate organization dealing with homosexuals should not be forcing them to seek change. I mean, but if they're definitely unhappy with their same-sex attractions, that opportunity should be available to them. And what California's
done
is crazy.
Correct. I mean, it's a question of allowing someone a right of client determination. It's a freedom issue, really. And really, our freedoms are being taken away from us as a society. You're in a situation now where ideology actually trumps truth.
Yeah, and we see that more and more political correctness. And back, as I mentioned earlier, the APA adopted a resolution that mental health professionals should avoid telling clients that they can change their sexual orientation through therapy. But has the APA actually come out and opposed reparative therapy? Have they actually said it's unethical to counsel?
No, they have not.
Okay.
And in fact, what they've done is, I mean, what the gay actor has done is trying to jump over the professional associations by trying to put it into governmental law instead. Also, it's very interesting that the APA, they refer to the sexual orientation change efforts, or SACCHI, or whatever, how you pronounce it.
SOC.
Their task force that basically came out with what you're referring to involved six people who were all gay identified or very much on the gay side. Anyone who believed in reparative therapy was systematically not included on the committee. So you didn't even have a committee that was of any kind of equality. I mean, Joe Nicolosi, for example, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, who is a psychologist who's done this for, I don't know how many years, 30 years or whatever, some people had recommended he go on the committee. He was not approved
on
the committee by the APA. And so,
they
stacked
the deck.
So, and this goes right back to something you said in the very beginning of the program about how the gays allegedly consider themselves powerless.
So it's very
activist. And they're not at all powerless. They have power in these professional associations. They have power in the media. They have power in the courts. They have power in almost every area. And the money they have to spend on this issue is way beyond anything the pro-family.
Oh, yeah. Look at the money that was spent in Washington State to get that effort to overturn the same-sex marriage law. Look at the money that was dumped into that by corporations from within Washington, Microsoft, REI, and I can't think of the other ones, but there were a whole list of corporations that dumped money into the effort to make sure the same-sex marriage remained legal in Washington State. So, yeah, they have tons of money. What you're talking about with them stacking the committee with all homosexuals, I mean, that's basically the same thing that they did in 1973 when homosexuality was removed as a mental disorder. Pretty much the same thing?
Yes, there was a lot of coercion involved. There were a lot of in-the-closet gay men who became very powerful in the APA and rose up through the ranks and then kind of just took it over.
Use their power.
I remember writing to the APA, and any kind of issue with the word homosexuality in it, the material went to a committee on homosexuality. It didn't even go to the general board of the APA. Everything was steered through homosexuals on committees which were anti-reparative therapy or change.
So it was dumped in file 13, basically.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so unfair.
The original committee did have some straight people, obviously, on it, you know, such as Robert Spitzer and others, but they were very gay affirmative in their approach.
Yeah, yeah. And recently Spitzer came out and apologized for his study, which he did, a study of 200 homosexuals who had, there was a percentage of them who had changed their sexual orientation, and he recently came out and apologized.
With Dr. Spitzer, if you really read what his statement was, and it was really a lot of coercion by a lot of gay activists. Dr. Spitzer is quite old and ill at this point.
Okay.
And they just wouldn't leave him alone until he came out with a statement. But if you carefully read the statement, in fact, North has this up on their website, it says that he apologizes if anything he deduced from the study hurt homosexuals. He really doesn't say that the study
was
incorrect. Is not valid, because the study is valid.
Yeah, and it was applauded when it was done for being so extensive. So
and the
intimidation.
Gay activist, he, until then, Robert Spitzer was their hero. Once he put out that study, he was on their bad list, and they badmouthed him whenever they could.
Yeah.
So there was
a
tremendous amount of pressure on him over the years.
Wow, so intimidation. They used intimidation game, which is a very common practice by homosexuals and their allies, too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel it's a very, very sad statement, because what you can really say is homosexuals in the past were bullied terribly, and that was wrong and unjust.
Right.
And now they have become the bully.
They have become the bullies.
And they're turning around and being unjust and unfair to others.
Yeah, and just this California law just showed just how unfair, how far they're willing to go to affirm homosexuality, and how far they are willing to go to convince children that it's okay to be gay.
Because they're going even further than that. I mean, there are actions now, I'm sure you're aware of the action that's been brought against us, for example, where they're trying to basically create a chilling effect on the fact that we have a network of counselors out there.
Yeah.
There is a social worker who's been brought up on charges in Illinois who has this, for the chilling effect.
Right.
They've also done this over in the United Kingdom.
Right,
there's a
successfully.
Psychiatrist in Belfast that is... same kind of problem. There's a psychologist in London, same kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a psychotherapist, another one in Ireland, who now is also facing it. So, I mean, this is a strategy that they're doing worldwide, both here and in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to eliminate the right of client self-determination and to really coerce into not changing.
You used the word
intimidation before.
Yeah.
That's in effect what they're trying to do, is intimidate.
Hasn't client self-determination always been a part of the counseling process, where the client, and I don't know anything about counseling, so I'm just from things I've read, doesn't the client and the counselor work together towards common goals for self-determination? Is that kind of part of it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole premise, that the therapist is not supposed to tell you where you want to go, but help you
reach your goal,
actualize your own goal.
Okay, wow. Because they're so, to me, these attacks are signs of their desperation, because they know that all the former homosexuals prove that they're not born that way. And I know that you guys recently started put up a website. Let's talk a little bit about your new website, voicesofchange.org. What's the purpose of that? And give us the exact website address on that.
Sure. The exact website is voices-change.org. And we are part of a committee. It's a committee. Actually, the site is sponsored by a group called PATH, Positive Alternatives to Homosexuality, which is a coalition of 24 or 25 secular or faith-based organizations representing almost every religion that is in the country. And we decided that, since most people say, well, show me the people who have changed. Let me know about the people who are their real-life case. And many of these people really don't want to, you know, they do go through the process of change. They want to fade back into the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking to be out and proud and running around and doing
right.
all these parades.
Well, they see what happens to people like Dr.
Spitzer.
Said,
this is
yeah.
really important. So a number of people, and at this point I think it's roughly 100, more or less, testimonials that are up there. And before we finish, we'll have a lot more, some of whom are done by video, some of whom are done by audio, and most of which are done by written testimonials of people who have successfully changed. And we number two things. Number one, if anyone is listening to this broadcast and is somebody who has successfully changed, we would urge them to contact us, because we'd like to get your story up there as well. Second of all, we're also interested that the average individual citizen who is out there that doesn't believe or is confused or is concerned about, well, is this true? Can people change? Can people not change? Go look at the website, please, and read the stories, or look at the videos, or listen to the audios. Elena has been very diligent working on this particular website. Maybe she may want to add some more to what I've just said.
I think it will be very inspirational to those who are unhappy feeling same-sex attraction to go to Voices of Change and see the wonderful men and women who have changed. And the other thing is, the definition of change is different for each individual. It doesn't mean you're never going to feel a same-sex attraction again in your life. I mean, some people that happens to, most it doesn't.
Right.
It just means that it becomes a smaller and smaller part of your life. You develop more of your heterosexual feeling, and you go in a direction for your life that you want. You are empowered for your own goals. No one should be telling you what your goals
right.
are.
Right.
And as you said, there is no evidence that anyone is born gay.
That's
the twin
true.
Studies done around the world on over 10,000 identical twins show that only 10% of the time are identical twins both gay. 90% of the time, one is gay, one isn't.
Wow.
There are no better studies than those.
True.
Show that it's not inborn. It's just not inborn, and you should have the right to choose your path in life.
And clearly, as I'm sure your listeners understand, is that if you have a set of identical twins, they have the same genes. They share
true.
The same gene pool.
Yep.
And so, therefore, in theory, if it was genetic,
mm-hmm.
if it was a gay gene existed, both twins should be gay.
Yeah,
and the fact you have such a discordant rate overwhelmingly proves the fact that it's not genetic.
That's for sure. But homosexuals want to pretend that doesn't exist, so studies don't exist, and are pushing, you know, this whole fight against reparative therapy, change therapy, and because that's the only thing they can do at this point, because they know that if the stories of those on your website, voicesofchange.org, if those stories get out, and if the media would ever be truthful about this, the whole homosexual agenda would be gone within a week, I think. But the media is not going to talk about your website. The mainstream media is not going to talk about your website. And homosexual activists are going to make sure that word doesn't get out, that you have these testimonies from former homosexuals.
There's a whole educational process that they're going through. Actually, I'd rather call it a propaganda process.
True.
Which is, I think you spoke earlier a little bit about what they're doing in the school systems
mm-hmm.
now. I mean, the kind of books that they have. I mean, I just heard Dennis Prager talking about the fact that in California now you can't have a school book that doesn't start in kindergarten.
Exactly.
Doesn't talk about transgender
mm-hmm.
and homosexuality and all that in a positive light.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, the Jack and Jill stories, I guess, no longer exist.
I guess not.
But it's not only in the schools. It's, of course, the university campuses.
Oh, it's even worse there.
The school, the media.
Yeah.
It's all pervasive. And you've got this huge, huge propaganda campaign out there.
Yeah. And it used to be in the universities, and it went down to the high schools, then junior high, middle school, and now the elementary, now kindergarten, all being told that gay is okay. And as you said, in California, which there's no way I'd live in California, they just passed that law prior to this reparative therapy ban. They just passed a law requiring that all their textbooks have gay-affirming stories in there and make sure that they talk about all the quote-unquote gay historic figures in U.S. history. So it's appalling to me that this would happen.
Yeah, I'm wondering, for example, how you can have how many textbooks can actually find, for example, transgender personalities that had a huge impact upon history. I don't think there are very many.
Yeah, they're rewriting history. I mean, we have an organization, Equality Forum, in Philly, that every month, every October, which of course we all know is Gay History Month, they have gone through and pulled out 31 historic figures who supposedly were gay. And to me, I call that they're picking on the dead guys.
Because the dead can't defend themselves, you know, whether they were gay or not.
Exactly.
They can't sue for libel. It's kind of difficult.
That's true, true.
And the other thing is, you know, they're going into the schools and they're not depicting, you know, that there are, they're talking about the dangers of reparative therapy. They're not talking about the dangers of those who go into homosexuality.
True.
20% of the males who are homosexual in this country have HIV/AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Are they telling school children and their parents that this is extremely dangerous?
Yeah.
And even if you are okay with being gay and you're going to go into it, you still need to be aware of the tremendous dangers
absolutely.
In that lifestyle, that you need to be prepared and educated. And they're not doing that.
No.
They're just, you
picturing
know,
up, they're painting a pretty
that
picture.
It's equivalent to heterosexuality.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Absolutely, it absolutely is not. And we just want to throw this out at the end of the program here, that another attack is that in the end of November, California Congresswoman Jackie Speier introduced a non-binding resolution in Congress. It's called Stop Harming Our Kids. It's a non-binding resolution, but she said in a press conference, it brings us some reality checks about sexuality. It condemns reparative therapy.
Yes, I'm aware of that that proposed sense of Congress bill.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing when you talk, the name she's given it is SHOCK, and the reason why, or the acronym, I should say, and the reason why is they're trying to take us back 50 or 75 years ago when people used to undergo shock therapy, electric shock therapy, for some aspect, which, of course, has not been used in this field in 50 or 75 years.
But she's using that to bring back the fear.
Absolutely,
yeah,
100%.
Of something that's no longer even used. But the resolution condemns reparative therapy and also urges states to introduce laws similar to the one just passed in California that bans reparative therapy. And I want to throw out here that the end of this legislative session, such a bill was introduced in Pennsylvania. Of course, it went nowhere because it was introduced like the beginning of November, end of October. But still, I expect it to be reintroduced this coming year.
The hope, obviously, is that it goes nowhere. It's a sense of Congress resolution, so it's not a
true.
Not a bill,
not
as
a bill,
I understand
right.
it,
right.
That is going to have any legal force and effect. But still, it is something that I think that the people who believe in the concept of family, the people who believe in the concept of one man, one woman, one lifetime, would really be strongly against, and I suspect that's most of the Congress.
True. I would hope so, too. But if it is passed, homosexual activists will use it in their states to push it, saying Congress is for this. We need to pass a bill like this to ban, quote-unquote, dangerous reparative therapy. So how can folks contact you guys?
They can contact us either by doing an email to info@jonahweb.org, or they can also do it through the Voices of Change, which is info@voc.org, I believe it's it. There's an information on both.
Okay.
On the PATH website, on the Voices of Change website, and on the Jonah website. So they can contact us either through the website, through calling, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions. And thank you so much, for having given us this opportunity to explain Jonah. And let me say, we are Jewish-based in one way, but we work with people of all faith and no faith. And our counselors are Jews, Christians, Spanish-speaking, French-speaking. We can help someone anywhere in the world because our counselors work over Skype.
Okay.
So they can see the person they're working with, and the telephone call from anywhere in the world costs nothing.
Okay, we have Skype.
Yeah, and also, by the way, since you're based in Western Pennsylvania, one of the people in our network of counselors is based in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, okay, yeah, that's just about an hour and a half, 2 hours from here. Okay, so info@jonahweb.com is an email address they can use.
No, not .com, .org.
No, .org. Oh, sorry about that. So it's
info@jonahweb.org, or they can go on to the websites of either PATH, which is pathinfo.org, or Voices of Change with hyphens between the words, .org, and there'll be also places there that people can send emails in.
Okay, and I do encourage folks to check those websites out. To me, it's encouraging to have these testimonies, and homosexuals can't say that people are born gay. I mean, and this is evidence, further evidence that that's not the case. So thanks, Arthur and Elaine, for being with us today. I appreciate that and appreciate all the work that Jonah does.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, okay. Diane. Hey. We certainly appreciate being here and appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.